This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red May wheat, 659.5 down 4.25. July, 659.5 down 3.25. May wheat, the soft variety, 623.25 down 2.75. July, 625.75 down 1.75. March corn, 428.75, now a half up 1.75. July, 444 up 2. January soybeans, 1347.5 up 1. July, 1304.75 up 1.5. January soybean meal, 451.60 up 3.60. January soybean oil, 39.23 down 8 cents. December live cattle, 131.42.5 down 32.5. January feeder cattle, 166.17.5 down 97.5. February lean hogs, 86.32.5. They're up 67.5.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets? No, we're waiting on Mike Zuzulo to join us this morning. Mike going to be on the line here from Atchison, Kansas in just a moment or two. Meanwhile, let's go ahead and check in on a few news stories for you. If you haven't already heard this morning, ADM is now going to move its global headquarters to Chicago, and it is going to keep its national North American headquarters in Decatur. Mike on the line now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Dave.
Interesting market. It is quiet out there if you look at most of the futures markets. But then you look over at the soy meal charts, and all of a sudden you say, boy, oh boy, things are perking there. We've gapped to the upside, new contract highs, new target upsides. Does this all mean that January beans have another 15, 20, 25 cents in it?
I think the meal certainly gives that technical impression. I think the other half of the other side of the coin will be in determining that, Dave, is the weather in southern Brazil and Argentina. We have probably our first year, weather scare of the 13-14 crop year here now in the futures market. We're talking about very hot and very dry conditions, Argentina being in the most spotlight by the trade. Some heat warnings in Buenos Aires today, so we can see that it is for real, given that some of the meteorological people are putting out some heat warnings. The expectation for cooler weather in a few days is probably keeping the market a little bit pressured, but there's not a lot of rain behind this cool pattern. So I would suggest, and what I'm talking to clients about right now, is given the meal and given the weather market, getting up against some of these technical resistance levels in old crop beans and getting the July Nov bean spread back up to that $1.41 high that we made back in November. And it kind of looks like a double top at this point, that maybe start to get some catch-up hedges for new crop made in case the weather does turn wetter. And I think you can be conservative at this point and let the weather market kind of manifest itself and kind of percolate a little bit.
So new crop hedges, at what level would you recommend?
Well, this 1165 to 1170 level in new crop beans is an ideal area, in my opinion, because you only have to give the market about 30 to 40 cents of further upside before you can pull those hedges off and say, okay, now we have a breakout in the new crop. I think it's important to think about in the next 3 weeks that not only is weather an issue, but we also have the issue that if China is going to cancel corn and reject corn, because of political reasons, and we don't know that for sure yet, but that's where we're kind of heading, it seems, as we get ready to see what Vilsack can do and his trade representatives can do here at the end of the week in China with their talks. But if we are seeing corn rejections by China, who's to say that we won't see bean rejections down the road? And I think we need to be a little bit prepared for that and have these profitable levels in place for the beans. I was talking to a client in near Memphis, Tennessee today, and he's got on the line between 1,700 and 2,000 acres of beans. He will push the 2,000 acres if we don't see a better than 5 or 525 December 14 price. And so I think as this type of trade continues, where the beans get bought and the corn gets sold, you will kind of build in even more bean acres if some of these people are telling me that right now.
Well, given the huge corn crop that Brazil is reported to be, that China's reported to be growing, these cancellations do make some sense in that. And then often these imports are more reasonably financial to the Chinese than moving their crop around domestically internally.
Well, part of that I think is right, but I think the other side of that coin is that if you have the imports rejected and the southern Chinese buy corn domestically from the northern part where the crop is mainly grown, then your domestic price goes even higher, and therefore you attract even more acres into the springtime. And so that makes you wonder naturally, why would you need more acres of corn when you're rejecting loads and you say you have a bumper crop? I think the two dots just don't connect fully. And I take your point. The Chinese government does support the corn a lot more than the beans. And there is a policy in the Chinese government that the local provincial government leaders get more per bushel than they would the policy set up per bushel. So it's much more profitable for the local provinces to grow more corn because their money coming from the state gets bigger and their checks are bigger because they grow more corn there instead of beans. And so it is a very inefficient one as far as policy, but and your point's well taken, but you're not really doing what you're saying you need to do if you have so much corn left over from last year.
So we will find out when Vilsack goes over there if it truly is a concern about GMO or not, because I thought, reading, that China was set to approve this GMO anyway in January, so now they don't approve it in January. Now you kind of really are left with it. It's over political issues over airspace.
Yeah, that could be very much the case, and I think it was interesting that Vilsack was, told Orion Samuelson on This Week in Agribusiness over the weekend that the Chinese had been taking this GMO corn for almost 2 years, and so that it came to a surprise to the USDA as well. So when you hear that kind of talk, I think that you're, at least the way I read it, is you're leaning more political.
So let's go ahead and then look at the corn from a financial standpoint. We haven't seen the 25-day moving average essentially since the end of August. I mean, we've nipped it a few times, and now we're here trying to nip it again. I guess the question I have for you is 418 a good number through the end of the year or not?
I don't think you can say that with what's going on with what we just talked about and what's going on in the wheat market. I think yesterday's short covering fireworks, if you can call them that, was mainly due to the trade wanting to go test the resolve of the short, and the short won out again because of those moving averages you're talking about, and in part thanks also to the new lows in the wheat. And so we have a market now where the wheat corn spread has fallen 50 cents since the end of November because the wheat supplies globally are reported by the government agencies, several government agencies, as growing and growing and growing. And I think this is where you have to, if you're in a position like me where you think the corn is undervalued because of the demand side of the equation and the trade only looking at the supply side of the equation for the last 9, 10, 11 months, you still have to go back and reconcile the issue that if you don't have wheat on your side, then the upside potential in corn could be muted. I think you do have the potential to hold these lows if you get good news at the end of the week, because the trade probably has started already to come in and talk about the issue of the January report. And so we probably have some of that priced in already as far as bearish numbers. And I think if you get good news out of China, and then you get good news from Informa here in a little bit on even tighter 2014 corn acres, then it doesn't mean the market has to rally, but I think it would suggest the market doesn't need to go any lower either.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.